The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
What a game. All I got to say is, can you guys imagine making millions of dollars, being in your 20s and living in Vegas? You would have never went out. You would have been at home all
Sounds
the
like
time.
A recipe for disaster.
Crickets, right? What's About going on, right. Everybody? Welcome into First Take. Still here in the Seaport. You know this man needs no introduction. Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman, I'm Molly Karam-Rose. Guys, John Gruden and his Raiders get the NFL's first ever win in the city of Vegas, and it wasn't a cheap one, taking down Drew Brees and the Saints. Derek Carr, three pass TDs. Stephen A., these Raiders are now 2-0. Are you buying them?
No, I'm not. I'm not buying them as of yet because they were the 25th ranked defense against the pass last year. Thus far in these first two games, they ranked 29th. That secondary is still a huge question mark in a division that has Patrick Mahomes in it. And, oh, by the way, some kid named Justin Herbert who just showed up on the scene and in his first career
Looking
game threw
good.
For 311 yards. If you're going to be able to throw the football effectively, then guess what? The Raiders are going to have a problem with you. That's really what this comes down to. What I will say to you, however, is I am buying into Derek Carr. Derek Carr is playing with a chip on his shoulders. Derek Carr is feeling like he's being disrespected. And the reality of the situation is he has a legitimate case. Before he got injured a few years ago, he was a top two candidate for league MVP honors the way that he was playing. Obviously, since injuries derailed his season, the Raiders went into the playoffs. He got hurt like about what a game or two left in the regular season. Ultimately, he couldn't perform in the playoffs, and they got blitzed, obviously, by I think it was the Houston Texans that took him out. In the end, what it comes down to is this. He is back. The last couple of years has been a struggle. Last year was John Gruden's first year coaching this dude. He's 2-0 thus far. He's completed 73.5% of his passes. He's got four touchdowns. He doesn't have a single interception. That's coming off 21 touchdowns and just 8 interceptions last year. I'm just looking at Derek Carr, and I'm saying he deserves the benefit of the doubt. He deserves us looking at him and saying, excuse me, the brother can play. Mm-hmm. Let's see what he's got. I wouldn't go as far as the hyperbole that John Gruden engaged in. He's great. No, he has great potential. He could be great. We shall see. And with Jacobs running the football and with Waller, this brother Waller is special. One of the special tight ends. He ain't Travis Kelce or George Kittle yet, but he might be come the end of this season. He's that special. Offensively, I look at them. I believe in them. But defensively, with that secondary, Max, is a huge question mark for me.
I'm actually buying the Raiders. I'm not buying Carr yet. I'll explain what I mean. I think, first of all, let's look at Derek Carr because you brought him up. He was an excellent young quarterback to start his career, basically. And then he stalled, and then he looked bad for a while, and now he looks like he's ascending again. Well, why is that? It's coaching. This is the NFL. There are a few select players on the far end of a bell curve, right? That the really excellent ones, Aaron Donald or Patrick Mahomes. No matter where they go, they're going to be great. They're going to be great. If Tom Brady would have went to any team, he'd have been a great quarterback. That's intrinsic in him. The greatest of all time, he had Belichick, right? Even Patrick Mahomes, who'd be great wherever he is, as good as he is now, he has Andy Reid. Coaching makes a difference. And that's for the elite, elite players. In the middle, even if you're on the high end of the middle, you know, if you plotted everyone on a bell curve, meaning a few are really good, a few are terrible, most people fall somewhere in the middle, whether toward better or toward worse. Even players toward the better side of that, call Derek Carr one of those guys, are so dependent upon coaching. So what I see from Carr is the opposite of what I see from Carson Wentz. Both had a lot of success early. Carson Wentz still won't really follow the coach's game plan, it seems to me. It's trying to force things to happen. Whereas Derek Carr started dinking and dunking more, hit his tight end a whole bunch of times, you know, didn't make mistakes. He played smart football. I understand why Gruden's so happy with him. But that's the reason. I'm not buying Carr yet. I got to see him do it longer. We've seen this from him before, look really good, and then periods where he didn't. Let me see. The Raiders, though, Stephen A., I attribute Carr's success right now to Gruden and the coaching staff. To me, it's an indication of that. So I'm buying the Raiders. I'm buying the Raiders to be a competitive football team throughout the course of this season. Are they better than the Kansas City Chiefs? Nobody's better than the Kansas City Chiefs, not with the money on the line. I'm not buying them to win the division, but I believe the Raiders will be competitive throughout this year. And when we get late in the season, they'll still be looking at the playoff hunt. They'll still be in the hunt whether or not they make it. I'm buying them. This was not them a couple years ago. I'm buying their trajectory right now.
Well, they got better talent. They had an exceptional 2019 draft. They did a great job this 2020 season. Mike Mayock, even though they peeled him from the NFL Network, he had no resume whatsoever. Don't get me started with that. Nevertheless, that does not take away from the fact that he has done a damn good job. And the person that should be ashamed of themselves is Antonio Brown, because imagine what they would have been if they had him. If you've got Edwards and you've got Waller and you've got Ruggs, and you had Antonio Brown, could you imagine what we would potentially be saying about the Oakland Raiders? Antonio Brown, need to think about that. Might have been a bit too quick in being a malcontent. That might have been a really good situation for him. But nevertheless, you got a running game in Jacobs. He's a workhorse. We understand that. He's not some guy to breakaway kind of guy, but he's a workhorse, and you can rely on him. I love the fact that you got Abrams on the defensive side of the ball. He's a rough rider. I love him. Got scared me yet last night when he ran into that mobile thing right there. He was laying motionless, scared the living hell out of me. I'm glad to see that he's all right. But in the end, it does come down to their secondary. And the reason why it's their secondary is because, think about this. If you're talking about Baltimore, you're talking about an improved Lamar Jackson and his ability to throw the football, not just run. And by the way, if you want to neutralize him, you got a spy on him. Keep a spy or two on him because he's so electrifying athletically. As a result, it's going to compromise your secondary. Big Ben Roethlisberger is back. He's going to be throwing the football. Cam Newton reminded us he can still throw the football. Patrick Mahomes is Mahomes. Herbert has busted onto the scene. Tennessee is a different ballgame because you're relying on Derrick Henry for the most part. I just look at the Raiders and I look at a guy like Derek Carr. He's 4 years removed from his MVP caliber season, and we get all of that. But even when he's considered to have a bad year, like in 2016 or whatever, he had completed 69% of his passes. Mm-hmm. When they went 4-12 that year, he completed 68.9% of his passes. He threw 19 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. It wasn't god-awful, but he's relatively pedestrian in terms of not being risque. When you've got a guy like Waller to rely upon, you've got somebody in those short intermediate
safety
routes to
valve.
Do some things.
Yeah.
It's a safety valve, and that helps him.
But look, if you're going to say, where do they place in the AFC, I'm not buying them as a top three or four AFC team.
Well, I'm just talking about the playoffs, Max. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, let's just look at their division, though, right?
It's interesting now.
KC is in a class by themselves. Yeah. The Chargers have a defense, and Justin Herbert looked like a real prospect, mm-hmm. like the guy we thought would be drafted number one a couple years ago before he didn't have a great season, stayed in college.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still a rookie quarterback. I don't look at the Chargers and go, boy, you really have to worry about the Chargers yet. The Broncos are looking for a quarterback, and by the way, won't even consider Colin Kaepernick, apparently, right? I don't see this division as some murderer's row. So the Raiders could be, notwithstanding the fact that the Chiefs are the class of the NFL, let alone the division, the Raiders are going to be competitive, I think. Ain't going to win next week. Yeah. Patriots, no, Bill Belichick got something for him, I'm sure. They'll be 2-1 after 3 weeks, but that's the kind of season they're going to have, I think. Well, looking at a playoff spot the entire time.
If you're buying the bottom line, are you talking about them in the playoffs or not? I'm not saying that yet. I think their offense will be formidable defensively. That secondary is a huge question.
But we'll certainly be watching them. They're interesting. The Raiders scored on 12 of their 18 drives, the highest rate in the NFL. And obviously, guys, later, we got to talk about these Saints.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Meanwhile, fellas, the NFL riddled with major injuries to superstar players in week two. I'm not going to lie. I was beyond deflated seeing Saquon go down twice. Ultimately, hear the devastating news. He is out with a torn ACL, arguably the Giants' best player. As for the Niners, They were devastated by injuries, especially to their defense. Nick Bosa also done for the season with a torn ACL. I hate reporting this type of news. On that note, Marcus Spears here with us. Always good to see you, though. There's a bright spot in this negative story. Marcus, we'll get to you in just a second. Max, we've talked about this, feeling real defeated about our Giants at this point. But is it a bigger loss with Bosa or Saquon?
Saquon. And it's easier to justify a high draft pick on a defensive end than it is a running back, right? And Bosa's a stud. Bosa's from another planet. That guy is great. And so it's a huge loss. But here's the difference. The regime in San Francisco, GM and coach, that were brought in not all that long ago, several years ago, yep, already proved they know what they're doing. They know what they're looking at. What did I just say? It's draft and development. They know how to draft. They know how to develop. They know how to coach them up. That's why they had a 10-point lead in the Super Bowl last year. Well, they lost to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Yeah. Okay. 10-point lead late in the Super Bowl. They know what they're doing. What about the Giants? This is year three for Gettleman. How many more years does it take? It's not that. Like, the Giants are terrible every year now, Molly. We're Giants fans. And in New York, in any town where you have two franchises, usually you have the Heritage franchise and the Clown franchise. The Jets have always been the Clown franchise in New York. The Giants are the Heritage franchise. But you got to squint to see the difference right now.
We got two clowns then.
We got two clowns. Yeah. We got Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus in New York. So many clown franchises when you add in the Knicks. Look, the Giants built their offense around Saquon Barkley. And respect to Nick Bosa. He is a franchise-level defensive player, but he's not their franchise player. Saquon Barkley is actually the Giants' franchise player. He's the franchise. He's the face of the franchise. Mm-hmm. Whatever Danny Dimes is right now, mm-hmm, Saquon is the face of the franchise. He's the most important offensive player, and he's the system through which they're going to evaluate Daniel Jones. Now you know what this does, Stephen A.? This gives Gettleman an excuse. If it doesn't work out this year, if Danny Dimes, well, we don't have Saquon Barkley. So you know what that does? That keeps Gettleman in place another couple of years. How many years you need to turn this thing around? 4-5 years of futility? I don't care if they get an extra, a better draft pick. They're not going to know how to develop the draft pick. Saquon's best year was his rookie year.
Right.
Before the Giants got their hands on him, really.
Right.
This is a disaster.
Well, you're wrong. And the reason why you're wrong, Max Kellerman, is number one, because you're emotional. And I understand it. You and Molly are very hurt right now.
Very
My
emotional.
Condolences to both of you. I told y'all I was going to lose Monday night to the Pittsburgh Steelers. You did. You don't want to listen. But that's okay. That's okay. It's perfectly understandable. And I understand that your emotions are invested. And I get where your point. My heart goes out to you. It truly, truly does.
Cowboys
but,
had a good
But here's
night.
The reality of the situation. You call him a franchise player. But you're missing a key point here, Max. They're not really a franchise. Nobody cares about the Giants. They weren't going anywhere anyway. We know this. You weren't going to win anyway, Max. I'm sorry to rub it in. You weren't going to win
that's
anyway.
That's not true. Excuse hopes
me.
Were high.
Excuse me. Hopes were high?
Yeah, we didn't know what the Giants was going to do.
Outside of First Take, where were the hopes high for the New York Giants? Where? Where's the evidence?
New York,
where's
the evidence? Home.
Please, please.
Tweet at Stephen A. You had
please,
hope.
Please.
We had a young squad.
Listen, listen,
Molly.
Listen. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
You know better.
You know better. So that's number one. This is why Nick Bosa is such a tremendous loss. There were actually expectations. Why were there expectations? Because the San Francisco 49ers were in the Super Bowl, by the way, with a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter before they blew that. The bottom line is this. What was their defense? What was the success predicated on? It was on their defense. What was their defense predicated on? Their front four. They had Buckner. They had Nick Bosa and the crew. Armstead and these brothers, okay? Now, Buckner's gone. You got rid of him. You have to let him go because for financial purposes. You kept Armstead, Jimmy Ward in your secondary. Your secondary, by the way, remember, they were elite in terms of limiting what opposing tight ends would do against them. That was a big deal. But primarily, their success was based on their front four getting to the passer, and that was led by that dude, Nick Bosa, a monster, a rookie. 9 sacks, 47 tackles overall, 16 for losses. That's Nick Bosa. That's who they just lost. So when you combine it with the fact that Buckner's already gone, now you've lost Bosa, okay? And then again, remember, Richard Sherman had to be out as well. You've got compromising taking place all over the place for the San Francisco 49ers defense. The last thing they could have afforded to lose was Nick Bosa.
But you're looking
but by
at
losing him, all I'm saying is the expectations war on the San Francisco 49ers with Saquon Barkley. The Giants weren't going no damn place.
I don't want to hear that from you. You don't believe in Jimmy G anyway.
I don't.
Yes, yeah, so
but
you
I believe
didn't
in that defense.
Excuse me,
I didn't believe in Jimmy G, but I still believed in them going to the Super Bowl last year because they had that defense.
This year, if you're arguing this year, even if Saquon meant a couple extra wins to them, it didn't really matter, although the NFC
right.
is so weak, the East is so weak, maybe it did. I agree with you. This year, you could argue Bosa is a bigger problem to lose
right.
than Saquon. But long term, Saquon Barkley is the centerpiece of the franchise. Saquon Barkley now gives Gettleman an out when he points to Daniel Jones' development this season mm-hmm. if it's not good. Mm-hmm. Everything. The fact that the offensive line rework hasn't worked, all that. Not to mention the fact that Saquon has a contract talk coming up that throws that into
chaos.
Hold up.
We got all emotional. I was hijacking things. I apologize. Marcus, I want to hear from you. You're the NFL player.
I mean, I would think that we're talking about this season, right? Because I keep hearing Max talk about the future and down the road. It's Nick Bosa by a long shot. This conversation is predicated on the fact that these teams had plans. I'm with Stephen A. The Giants wasn't doing nothing. And Molly and Max, as much as y'all talking about this, y'all know that. Y'all understand where the Giants are. Yes, it's devastating, catastrophic to lose Saquon Barkley. His talent, what he brings to that team, how he helps Daniel Jones in whatever way, because it damn sure ain't helped up until this point. The thing is, when you look at not only the depletion of the San Francisco 49ers offensively, with Jimmy G being hurt, Kittle being hurt, Debo Samuel not playing yet, Brandon Ayuk up in question. There's a Morstead being with a knee and potentially not playing. We're not even talking about that. We're talking about the guy that was going to be the MVP most likely of the Super Bowl had it not been for Patrick Mahomes turning into Superman and making plays down the road. That's how good Nick Bosa has been. San Francisco was a team that was supposed to be in the hunt in the NFC to be vying for another Super Bowl run. And you guys say Saquon Barkley? Like, if we're talking about this season in particular, and we're talking about what these teams are going to do, what player is more valuable to that success in actually doing something, to get something accomplished, is Nick Bosa, and it's not close.
Amen.
Well,
I get that, but the NFC East is terrible, Max.
Here's the problem with you and Max. Y'all are trying to attach significance to an impossible equation here. There is no way that the New York Giants, even as horrible and moribund as the NFC East is, we still expect the Giants to be in third place at best.
This is the difference.
Last the Cowboys lost.
This is the difference. Yep. The Niners will likely, so long as Garoppolo's playing, be, and they still have a semblance of a defense, be competitive this year. And long term, this changes.
What's your evidence of that?
This changes nothing. They almost.
What's your evidence of that? What's your evidence of that?
They're a well coached team.
How do you know this?
How do I know Shanahan's a good coach?
No. I was talking about Mr. Judge. That's what I was talking about.
Oh, no. I'm talking about the Niners.
The Niners are affected this year negatively
in a big impact way by losing a supremely talented and excellent second-year player. No doubt about it. At a more important position, by the way. Mm-hmm. Defensive end are drafted higher, paid better than running backs. There's a reason for that. That's true. But the franchise is going to be fine. This injury to Saquon has an ongoing impact to a Giants franchise that stretches on beyond this year. Forget about the fact that the NFC East is terrible. This has an impact on them next year and the year after.
Okay, let me remind you something, Max Kellerman. Saquon Barkley, what year is he in?
Third.
This is third year, right? Max Kellerman, over the last 3 years, they've been 3-13, 5-11, and 4-12. Okay, his first 2 years, 5-11, 4-12. Outside of 11-5 at their wild card spot since 2011 when they won the Super Bowl, they have missed the playoffs every single year but that year, and they've had a losing record year but two.
That's
so what I'm
saying
is that it's who they are.
Wait, Marcus, this is why it's so important for the Giants, because they keep bringing in new regimes to get it right. And Gettleman's going to claim, oh, wait, I have them going in the right direction, even though they've been terrible under his tenure so far.
Saying.
My point is this. This buys Gettleman more time to keep messing up.
That's fair. But I guess my problem is you're mentioning the word important, and the New York Giants, in the same sentence. It's over for a while. When are you 2 points?
You don't believe in Jason Garrett, our new offensive coordinator?
Stephen A. Stephen A. You don't even have Stephen A. just took y'all through the last 3 years. Like we talking about a team that's not competing at all.
I can take through the last eight.
And look, in y'all mind, it's a bigger loss because y'all fans. And we know how important Saquon Barkley is to the Giants. Makes perfect sense to everybody that's logical. But y'all knew damn well the Giants wasn't going to win nothing,
I didn't.
It's a bigger loss.
I thought this offense maybe could have done something. I know Evan Ingram can't block, but he's a solid tight end. Sterling Shepard, we didn't know what the quarterback was going to do. I didn't know the O-line was going to be this bad.
In this town, in football, everyone in this town cares about one football player. Yeah. He's the reason to watch football in New York right now. It's Saquon Barkley.
Actually, most people are trying to do everything.
That don't mean he's a bigger loss.
Most people are trying to get the NFL package so they're not stuck watching the Giants.
You ain't lying.
On local television. That's just the reality of the situation, okay?
And Saquon Barkley. Let me guess, Barkley, you're doing a commercial for the NFL package
not at
or
all,
something?
Not at all. Right. I swear. But I'm just telling you the truth. I mean, anybody think about the New York Giants? And even when you watch Saquon Barkley, you're waiting for the highlights. You can't watch the Giants for 60 minutes.
Joe Judge does
look like he knows what he's doing. They have been competitive, but we know that they're just not very good.
Okay, he's having too much fun. Let's go to break.
Come on, y'all.
Marcus, you'll be back with us in just a bit, sir. Appreciate you.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to First Take. We're finally back in our Seaport studios after 6 months. I'm not going to lie. It feels good. On the rooftop, Pier 17. We are so happy to be back with my guys in NYC.
I can't front.
Sense of normalcy.
I can't front. It's actually good to see you.
Yeah, I can't lie either.
Good to see you guys. Thank you.
But it's actually good to see you,
man. Listen,
we held it
down at home for about 6 months.
By the way, what I thought during the kind of social isolation was that actually I don't miss people that much. I'm all right at home.
But
you know what?
Too.
Coming back, I did miss you guys.
I know.
I will say this. What I don't miss is having is people in your face all the time. Not here, but I'm just talking about out in the street. Oh, no. Now I have an excuse
You're
to socially distance. No, I'm
right?
totally good with that.
6 feet.
Stephen A's got on the mask, the shield, the whole
That's
damn
right.
thing.
That's right.
All right, guys. Lakers Nuggets game 3 tonight. Lakers 2 wins shy of their first trip to the finals since 2010. You saw that little intro. AD putting in work, 30 points, got the game-winning buzzer beater to get the W. Max, talk to me about this, though. How important is it for the Lakers to win tonight to kind of wrap this thing up?
This is very important. This series is not over yet. And I know, look, was I rooting for Kawhi and the Clippers? The fact is, I am a Lakers fan, But if you're on TV and you make a public prediction, believe me, you start rooting for that prediction. You can't really control who you root for. It just happens.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to front and pretend like I didn't want my prediction to come true.
That's totally true.
Right.
So we all want to be right. Nevertheless,
now that that's over and LeBron has proved his point, I am a Lakers fan. I want them to win. And having just basically had an interest in the previous series and watched what happened, it's like Night of the Living Dead with those guys. Mm-hmm. It's like a game of zones, like the zombies that they used to say the Spurs were, right, like a machine. But these dudes come back from the dead. Like, it's unbelievable what the Nuggets have done in consecutive series, right. Down 3-1. If they're down 3-0 to the Lakers, 3-0 to the Lakers, series is over. Let's keep in mind, it should be 1-1. If not for Plumlee and Grant having a brain freeze at the end of that game, and maybe that's because, you know, they got confused because did LeBron screen or was it just and they just botched the assignment, right? The point is AD had an open look. If he doesn't have an open look, maybe he doesn't hit that shot or take the shot. Who knows? But the Nuggets should have won that game. And why should they have won that game? Because in a one-possession game, Jokic went down low on AD and did his thing and scored when he needed to. Jokic is a monster. He can control the game not only with his passing, but bully ball down low. And then you have a guy in Jamal Murray who, when he gets hot, good luck stopping him. Good luck stopping Jamal Murray when he gets hot. So if the Lakers win, great. But remember, this could easily be 1-1. The Lakers have not demonstrated, damn it, we're just the better team. And the Nuggets have played, what was it, six elimination games in these playoffs and won every single time. Lakers need this game. Do not breathe life into this Nuggets team.
Lakers don't need this game. Lakers don't need this game. Even if they lose this game, which I think they may do. I think they may. I mean, I picked them to win this series in six games. So, obviously, if you're Denver, you need to win tonight. And I think they will. But I want to say this. Here's the reason why. The Lakers are up 2-0. Let me throw these numbers at you, Max. LeBron James is averaging 20 points on 30% shooting from three-point range. How long do you think that's going to last? LeBron James, this is a career 27-point-per-game scorer. Yeah. This brother can drop 30 or 40 in his sleep at any given moment. He's averaging 20 on 30% shooting from three-point range. I got news for you. That's not going to last. And as far as I'm concerned, if Denver wins tonight, then it really, really won't last because then LeBron will amp it up. AD's going to be AD. It's what he does, averaging 34-9. He's around that. That's what he does come playoff time. He averaged 30 in his first playoff series when he went to the semifinals a few years ago in New Orleans. He averaged 31.5, okay? He was the only option pretty much, even though Jrue Holiday was definitely a substantive acquisition, you know, a substantive part of it all. But in the end, it was about AD and pretty much nothing else. When I look at the Los Angeles Lakers, I think it's Denver that needs this game because if Denver loses this game, they may get swept.
Oh, yeah.
If Denver wins this game, then obviously that's your chance of making it a series. Either way, the Lakers being in a 2-1 hole, to me, it doesn't make a difference. Whether they're up 2-0 or 2-1, they're still in control. I want to add this point and veer away from what we were talking about because you brought up something. I don't care whether LeBron – I picked the Lakers, and they almost made me jump off when I saw their perimeter shoot. I'm here to tell you that right now. Thank goodness I didn't. I didn't know the Clippers would fold like that. But I don't care whether the Lakers win or not. As long as they're there. See, we need LeBron in the finals, all right? But in terms of who wins or who loses, because it's in the bubble and it's not in the Staples Center, we have to acknowledge that even though we appreciate the quality of basketball that we have witnessed in the bubble, there is that fandom that is missing. I mean, because if you had the opportunity to watch the Lakers in L.A. come June, that's far more significant than watching them in the bubble. So it's important that LeBron is in the finals, but whether he wins it or not, it doesn't matter, listen, even though he will.
I agree. The league has got to want the Lakers against either the Celtics or Pat
it's
Riley's.
It's a win as long as LeBron and the Lakers are there.
Either way.
As long as LeBron and the Lakers are there.
I'll say this. Of course, the Nuggets need game three more than the Lakers.
Sure.
I'm not arguing that. The Lakers really need to win this. As a Lakers fan, this Nuggets team makes me nervous. You cannot give them life. If you give them hope, here's the problem. Mm-hmm. I mentioned the two big guns on that team, mm-hmm. Jokic and Murray, who Jokic, he got it done when they needed him to in game two. And Jamal Murray, we've seen score 50, mm-hmm. score 92 points without a turnover at one point in these playoffs. Mm-hmm. But Michael Porter Jr., he ain't a defender yet. But if this dude gets hot, good luck handling this Nuggets offense.
Well, you say that. But Malone has to get him more shots. and he's got to get more of those guys involved because he ain't the only one that can play for them as well. Jeremy Grant can play. Gary Harris can play, okay?
Yeah. But they can't score like Porter.
I know that. Porter's special, and that's why I think Denver's going to win the championship one day in the near future within the next 2 or 3 years. I think Denver's special, but the bottom line is I don't think this is this year. This is your year. When I look at the Los Angeles Lakers, you know what, Max? I wouldn't mind them losing and being tested. I want a series. I want to see them under that level of adversity because we know they could put up points in buckets. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, let's give him some love here. The brother's averaging 14 points in these first two games, shooting 60% from three-point range, 6 for 10 from three-point range. Rondo's playing just 21 minutes a night. He's averaging 9 assists. 9 assists in 21
Rondo's
minutes. Let me tell you something. This is what I want to see. I want Murray and Jokic to go at the Lakers. I want them to pull within a game of this
you
series.
Remember
I want to see the Lakers
down
under that kind of adversity. I like it. I think it's good for basketball.
You remember when they were down to the Clippers and they started out exhausted and the Clippers handled them the first game? And I forgot what the series was.
I think they came back and won and tied it 1-1. And then the Clippers
maybe
won the
it
next
was down 2-1,
and then the
but they were down
the next two.
Right, they were down in the series. And Porter starts talking about we need more than because you mentioned
after
more
they
guys.
Went down 3-1.
After they went down 3-1, that's right. And he starts talking about you can't just have two dudes in the
that's
offense.
Right.
You got it.
And he's right.
And I was looking at it like, whoa, this young dude is talking about.
And I didn't have a problem with it.
They responded to that. This team will not get down in themselves. Down 3-0, it's too much. They won't be able to come back. If they win this game, it's a series.
Molly and Max, remember what I reported when he was drafted. They were talking about Porter and his back issues.
Yes.
So much so that he literally had to get up on draft night and walk around because his back was stiff then.
Yeah.
This kid and the great Jerry West passed up on him not once but twice. Because of the back. Let me tell you something. If Michael Porter Jr. is healthy, he is a star in the making. He is a special, special player.
But I'll leave you with this. Obviously, Lakers, Celtics, Lakers, Heat, we win either way. And obviously, I don't have a dog in the fight, guys, but I would like to see the Lakers win it for Kobe.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you know, it would be.
He'd be hitting that shot.
I just wish it would be great to see. I just wish it was in L.A.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. Meanwhile, week 2 is in the book, so let's take a look back at Stephen A's top 5 NFL teams before this past week. Remember, it's fluid, America, in his words. Coming in at number 5 were the Saints, the Seahawks at 4, Packers at 3, Ravens at 2, and Chiefs in the 1 spot. So how much does it change this week? Stephen A, don't disappoint me.
You don't have to worry about that. I'm not going to disappoint you, Molly. Max, you know why I'm not going to disappoint you? Because I'm not Swaggoo. Marcus Spears. I'm not going to sit up there and look at a national audience and say, I'm glad you asked. No, I'm going to ask you why. That's what I'm going to do. My top 5 teams in the NFL after week 2. Let's get it. Give me my list at number 5. The Rams. Why? Because Aaron Donald is still a monster. That's why. Because he compromises every offensive scheme that he goes up against. That's why, because he scares the living hell out of quarterbacks. Carson Wentz is the latest victim in that regard. That's why, and oh, by the way, Max, Molly, don't know if y'all noticed, but that dude Jared Goff has been balling for over the first 2 weeks. He's looking pretty good, looking like the quarterback that took him to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. Let's give the Rams props where it's due. They're 2-0 in the NFC West, and they're letting you know last year was an aberration. We're coming back. Give me number 4 on the list, please. Give it to me. The Packers. Why? Because of Aaron Rodgers. That's why. Completing better than 66% of his passes. 6 touchdowns. Not a single interception. Dropping 40 in 2 consecutive weeks. The bad man that he is. I apologize. I didn't do that right. He's a bad man. That's why he's Aaron Rodgers. Gotta be top 5. All right. Let's go to number 3. Give it to me. The Seahawks. Russell Wilson. That's why. Notice I answered my question without asking. Because Russell Wilson has completed 82% of his passes. That brother's got 9 touchdowns. Just 1 interception on the season. You see the numbers that he's putting up. You see in the near perfection that he's executing. Oh, by the way, let's go back to week 1 when he completed 31 of 35 passes. Although that was against those sorry, pathetic Atlanta Falcons who just blew that game against the Dallas Cowboys. Dan Quinn did use to coach as a defensive coordinator in Seattle. You would think somebody that's watching Russell Wilson in practice for years would know how to defend him better. Didn't work. Tells you something about Russell Wilson. Might tell you something about Dan Quinn, but that's a story for another day. Give it to me. Number 2 on the list. Here's it. Oh, yeah. The Kansas City Chiefs, the reigning Super Bowl champions. Why do I have them at number 2 instead of number 1? Because did you see the way they struggled against the Los Angeles Chargers? Did you see the way that offense looked? By the way, couldn't do anything in the first half. Only scored 14 in the second half. Suddenly, Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and those boys looked a little bit human there, I say. Chip put us on notice about the Chargers and how they might be coming. But for the moment, we'll say, excuse me, Chiefs, you don't look that invincible. You're an elite team. You're the reigning champions. But are you the number 1 team? Hell no. And here's the reason why. Give it to me. Bam. The Baltimore Ravens. Why? Because of Lamar Jackson. That's why the brother is just so special. You just can't get around it. The way he creates a fright night kind of atmosphere with opposing defenses because of his ability to run with the football, creating opportunities for everybody else. Baltimore looks like a flat-out juggernaut. It could be special this year. They could potentially knock off Kansas City. I'm not predicting that yet, but it's possible. They're the number 1 team in the NFL now.
You hit the high note well.
Yeah, and also for the second consecutive week, I can't really argue with the list. You got the 5 teams right. I think you even probably got the order right, although it's close because the Packers have 2 divisional wins, and Rodgers has looked incredible again. One thing I'll say is this, and they're going to play each other, so we'll find out. I understand why you put the Ravens over the Chiefs so far this season. Even though if we think Justin Herbert's good, then we got to give the Chargers some credit because if you have a real quarterback with that defense, you got something. Still, Mahomes won. This is the kind of dude I am when it comes to the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. If that dude's undefeated, I'm not putting anyone over them. I know the defense and the run defense look like it regressed so far this year. That's true. But if Patrick Mahomes is fully squad up, he's my number 1. His team is my number 1. But, again, they'll decide it on the field coming up.
Marcus, what do you think? He missed anyone or the order's messed up?
Excuse me. Are we making a list based on what your preconceived notions are? Or are we making a list on what we just watched the first 2 weeks? Because how
the first
hell
2 weeks.
Are you going to have the
first 2 weeks
behind
That's
the Chiefs? Okay. So the Seahawks aren't the better team before the Chiefs in the first 2 weeks? Based on what you've been watching?
That's a good point. I can sit up there and understand that point. I was more focused on the Ravens being ahead of the Chiefs than Seattle.
Seahawks
being ahead of
the Chiefs. Beat a Falcons team that collapsed
And then Stephen A, Max going to sit up here and say, until Patrick Mahomes lose, I'm going to keep him 1. We ain't basing it off them. We talking about who have we seen to be the best teams in the NFL the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
The Falcons should have beat the Cowboys. That's number 1
should've.
To that point, Max. And second of all, did we not just see Russell Wilson go beat a Bill Belichick defense that
he
ain't
did.
Gave up 5 passing touchdowns since forever?
And Bobby Wagner in that defense made the goal line stand. You can make a hell of a case for Russell Wilson and Seattle. Here's the problem with you saying, we're doing it. We're basing it right now. You can't count the Chiefs. Why? Because they had to come back on the Chargers? Excuse me. They just won the Super Bowl, coming back on 3 consecutive teams down double digits. Won the Super Bowl. And they picked
Max,
up where they left off. What makes you think that's not...
the 2 weeks of the season.
Uh-huh.
Who
right.
looks better the first 2 weeks of the season?
May I interject
who
here?
Who
is the best?
Better, Max?
May I interject here? May I interject here? It's a rare moment that I do this. But I'm going to concede that Marcus Spears is absolutely correct. I'm going to concede that, excuse me, okay, because I'm a man. This is what you do. Here's the deal. I'm looking at the Chiefs, and I'm automatically focusing on dropping them a spot because they clearly didn't look like the better team. So I put the Ravens above them, not really thinking that they deserve to drop 2 spots to the Ravens and Seattle being above them. The only argument that I could get, and I'll give this to Max, is that, again, they did beat the Falcons in week one, who might be the dumbest team in the modern era at this particular moment in time. So because of it, that might be, I don't know how much credit. I could argue for my point to leave the list as is, but I must concede that Swaggoo's argument
gives me cause
to pause.
That's big of you.
I must admit that. Women always admit they're wrong.
Really?
Women always apologize first.
I got four older sisters. I got eight nieces. I don't recall. I don't know what you're talking about. Women always apologize first. They can't even fit through the door. Okay.
Marcus, you get the last word.
I've been married since 06. I'm still waiting on my wife to admit she ever been wrong about
anything.
Thank you.
The second thing is, Max.
Yeah.
We talking about the first 2 weeks of the season, Max. Yep. We not talking about last year coming back in the playoffs. Okay.
I'm just pointing out. If someone asked you through the first two games of the playoffs last year, you say, well, the Chiefs were down double digits in both games. That's not a problem for them. It's not a problem.
The only thing that I have to add to that is that I could ask Jalen for evidence about us being right. But he'd probably sing to us about how his boo is always right.
And he would never tell you the truth. I don't know.
I don't know.
Never forget that.
I don't know.
You might be older. I might lose that argument.
All right.
We'll leave it on that note. Marcus, we will see you on NFL Live for Eastern with Laura, Dan, and the crew. Mina, we're looking forward to that. And obviously, we'll talk to you more this week. Stay safe.